Joining us now is Greens MP David Shoebridge, who says that the police presence at the festival was aggressive and has called for festivals to introduce pill testing, amnesty bins and other harm minimisation measures. So thank you so much, David, for joining us this morning.
Yeah, no worries, James. And it's just the start of the summer festival season and it's already gone pretty horribly wrong with business as usual, hasn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately. And I guess it does just really spark that conversation. I guess to those that hear the words pill testing, some of their responses are anyone who advocates pill testing is given the green light to drugs. What is your kind of take on that?
I mean, the idea that politicians one way or another either give the green light to drugs or somehow magically stop drug use is just plain, it's just plain nonsense. We know that people are using drugs and will continue to use drugs at music festivals. And in fact, DEFCON 1 has been the most aggressive music festival in terms of a zero tolerance policy since 2013. They've had a very aggressive zero tolerance policy. They work very closely with the police. They pay a lot of money to the New South Wales police to have a very large police presence at DEFCON 1. And reports from the police themselves say they had about 180 police at DEFCON 1 with drug dogs and strip searches and, you know, the whole catastrophe. And that doesn't work. And you know, we've seen the tragic results of that kind of 20th century approach to policing of drugs, and it just doesn't work. And, you know, there are two families grieving today about the loss of their brothers, sisters, children. And if we keep repeating the same mistakes, people's lives keep being put at risk, then we're failing. So, you know, the aggressive zero-tolerance approach doesn't work. It hasn't worked at DEFCON 1. So we need to come up with a different solution that's going to do the best we can to keep people safe. And pill testing has been proven to be an effective harm minimisation strategy. It's not going to magically solve everything by itself, but we saw a Grooving the Move, for example, where we know at least two of the pills that were tested in a pretty small-scale pilot project, two of those pills were found to be potentially lethal and were discarded. If we do it right, pill testing can be part of the solution, but it's only part of the solution, James.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess you kind of alluded to one thing that you did say a while back, that this is a law and order problem with a massive overinvestment of $1.2 billion in police, courts and jails that needs to be redirected to evidence-based harm reduction measures, which is, I guess, exactly what Grooving the Move showed us a couple of months ago. Do you think that there needs to be, I guess what you've alluded to, a new approach in how resources are implemented into this?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it could start with something as simple as this for the police. If they are going to put drug dogs at a music festival and put them at the entrance and have a big policing presence at the entrance, and they had that at DEFCON 1, well, then they should do what the UK police do, which is also put up amnesty bins and put them in very prominent places near where the drug dogs and the police are operating, so that young, particularly inexperienced attendees at a music festival who get panicked by the sight of that, instead of just having a panicked ingestion and swallowing all the pills they have on them, can go and safely put them in an amnesty bin. Now, the fact that we can't even get the police to agree to that, because they say that putting amnesty bins out the front will somehow be giving green light in drug use, goes to show how just far from reality the political debate is, and how far from reality the Premier is in New South Wales when, you know, she's trying to throw the book at DEFCON 1, and DEFCON 1 has been doing what the Premier wants. For the last 5 years, they've been signed on to the Premier's zero tolerance super policing agenda, and it's failed. We need a suite of measures. If we're going to continue to have dumb policing, it should come with amnesty bins, and we should also have the police agreeing to have in pill testing at music festivals, and agreeing to use their discretion to not be arresting people who approach or come back from a pill testing site. But we also need people on the ground at music festivals, groups like DanceWise, you know, who are trained, highly competent peer-based advocates who can be out amongst people in music festivals and seeing if anybody's in early stages of distress. They can take them off to a first aid tent and, if necessary, urgently get them access to paramedics and medical help. It's that kind of suite of measures that's going to make things safer for us this coming summer.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess let's take a look at some of the numbers at the festival. There were 355 drug searches and over 700 people needing medical attention, and only 10 people were charged with supply offences. Now, police can only do so much. So is this a bit of a sign of a more deep-rooted issue that kind of needs to be addressed as well?
Yeah, well, police threw everything they could at this to try and stop drugs getting the music festival, and it failed spectacularly at DEFCON 1, and tragically... failed tragically. You know, there might be some people thinking, oh, it's okay for my kids or whatever to go to a music festival because there'll be a big police presence out the front with lots of drug dogs, and that'll keep everybody safe. And that's a false sense of safety that people have. It's just not true. So we also need to look at some of the culture at some of the music festivals and what some of the festival organisers are doing. Things like having extremely expensive food at music festivals so that people who are taking drugs have nothing else in their stomach. That should be something that is just dealt with immediately. We should be making sure that there's plenty of access to water, there's plenty of access to reasonable food, reasonably priced at music festivals. It's this kind of thinking beyond courts and police and drug dogs that is going to sort of incrementally move us towards a safer culture.
And I guess those who kind of align with Gladys Berejiklian's stance on wanting to, I guess, shut down the festival probably also have maybe, despite DEFCON 1's very hard approach to an anti-drug policy, they're quite well known for having this kind of result. You hear about all this kind of stuff after the festival, which happens. I guess, what do you say to those people that, instead of having to shut down a festival that is quite well known for these kind of things happening, what should they do instead?
Well, people are going to want to go to another music festival, and just shutting down DEFCON 1 is just going to have people go to another music festival somewhere else. If we had a vaguely intelligent government, they would sit down and work with festival organisers. They'd get a very professional music festival industry like we have in places like the Netherlands and other parts of the world where the state government, if you like, realises that festivals are places where people go out to have a hell of a lot of fun most of the time. They also generate good economic activity. They actually pay for the arts and culture and the music scene. I mean, they have an amazing bunch of positive attributes to them. So rather than view them as the enemy and want to shut them down and throw the police at them and throw the statute books at them, a far better strategy would be for the government to sit down and work with the industry across the board and say, well, you know, what are the common things we're going to be insisting upon to make, you know, this coming summer as safe as possible? What are the non-negotiable elements we're going to be talking about, you know, in terms of having chill-out tents and dance-wise and reasonably priced food and plenty of access to water and the like, you know, and education? You know, what are we going to be looking at across the board to make festivals safer? And just picking out DEFCON 1 and saying we're going to shut you down as though that's solving a problem. That's not solving a problem. That's just cheap politics.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess other than saving lives and preventing people from taking potentially dangerous drugs, what are the larger impacts that pill testing can have on the circulation of drugs, I guess, as something that can be a really not only save lives, but, yeah, I guess...
Well, it feeds into that peer-to-peer information network that is crucial at places like... music festivals. So if a pill gets tested and it's found to be contaminated and potentially dangerous, well, sharing that information instantly so that everybody can have a look, anybody who's got a pill on them can have a look and think, bloody hell, I've got one of these, and take an informed decision about it. That's been proven to be an effective harm minimisation measure in places like Portugal and the like. But at the moment, even if, say, the police, and there's been occasions where the police have known there have been particular dud pills out there, and they've known about it for days or weeks and not shared the information around, and people have been out taking these dud pills when the police had information that they could share that would prevent harm. I mean, we've just got to get over those kind of, you know, anachronistic roadblocks, because the police won't share that information, because I think if they share that information, it's going to somehow legitimise other drug use. Well, this has got to be about sharing information that makes us safer. Pill testing is a good way to get the information, but we then need a commitment to share that information and share it in peer-to-peer networks so that it'll actually get out to people and we can have that harm minimisation effect.
Yeah, there's definitely so many elements that can, I guess, yeah, change the course of festival safety and harm minimization. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see where this conversation takes us, especially after quite a tragic outcome, I guess, something positive that could come of it.
It's just so tragic. But look, we're going to have, it's going to be a big summer music festival. Overwhelmingly, people are going to be having a fabulous time out with their friends, enjoying music they like, having a wonderful time. And we need, the state government should be trying to make that safer and better and more fun, not throwing more police at it, shutting it down, and actually preventing harm minimisation. You know, I'm looking forward to a much safer, much more harmonious summer than we've had in previous.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see whether some changes come out of this quite a tragic event on the weekend. Anyway, thank you so much, David, for chatting again.
No, James, good speaking.
Yeah, for letting us know what we should be doing instead.